This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com. Allahu, 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 Allahu,
Welcome to Heart and Soul on QF Radio with me, Lauren Booth, your space to reflect. Today, it's my honour to welcome back Sheikh Sajid Umar. Sheikh Sajid has a bachelor's degree in Sharia. He also holds a master's degree in judiciary and is now pursuing his PhD. Sheikh Sajid is renowned as an international speaker and an awakener of communities. Salaam alaikum, Sheikh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you, Sister Lauren? I hope you're well.
Alhamdulillah, thanks be to God. We're doing well here in Qatar. And we have a big subject for everybody to grasp and consider today. And it's one that in the modern context, in the modern environment, we really try to avoid at all costs. We now have plastic surgery to look younger. We are being taught to hate the aging process. The idea of the cradle to the grave has become the cradle to avoiding the grave. And yet, the only certainty in life is what we're going to be talking about today, death. Sheikh, can you introduce us, gently if you will, to some of the concepts around death in the Islamic narrative?
Okay, may Allah bless you. You're pretty brave to announce that the topic will be death. And that's because of the negative stigma that many people associate with it. Allow me to start by mentioning a verse in the Quran. God Almighty, He says, every soul shall taste death. Every soul shall taste death. And then He goes on to say that, you know, and every soul shall receive its reward on the Day of Judgment, and whoever is freed from the hellfire and is entered into paradise, and that is truly, indeed, the successful one. And there's nothing about life in this world except that it is a deception. So this is what God Almighty says. I've just given you a rough translation, but hopefully the message has reached. So I was once reading an explanation of this particular verse, or ayah, as we call it in Arabic, by a famous scholar of tafsir, or a famous scholar who has written a book explaining the meaning of the Quran. He was famously known as Ibn Kathir. And he says that this particular verse, this verse where God Almighty says that every soul shall taste death, he says that this verse is glad tidings for the believer. So, you know, I sat back and, you know, it's like, you know when you get one of these, when a boxer gives you a left hook, you know, it's like a knockout punch. I don't know. I don't box, so I don't know, but I can just imagine. It's one of those that, you know, it just causes you to put whatever book you're reading down, take a deep breath, you sit back in astonishment and amazement. But, you know, what on earth is being said here? God Almighty is saying every soul shall taste death. And here the scholar says that this verse is glad tidings for a believer. So as I contemplated it, I thought, you know what? Subhanallah, glory be to God Almighty. He's absolutely right. You know, because, you know, there's a lot of negative things associated with death. Why? Because we lose a loved one. And it affects us, you know, in different ways. We miss them. You know, we sort of smell them around the home after they've passed away. We might smell their clothes, see their clothes, brings back memories. And they're normally, you know, associated as being painful memories. So here the scholar is saying that this is glad tidings for a believer. Why is it glad tidings? Glad tidings because if you're a believer, then no doubt the hereafter for you is far better than the life that you live, number one. Number two, it's glad tidings for you because, you know, this is a message to you after you lose a loved one that you will be reunited with them. It's not a permanent solution. It's not a permanent, decision or a permanent circumstance. It's a temporary circumstance, because as that person passed away, you will pass away as well and reach the space that they're in right now. So from this angle, it's glad tidings. And also it's glad tidings from the fact that God Almighty is sort of telling you that, look, this loved one that you've lost is not something personal. It's not a punishment to you. It's just the process of life that every soul shall face death. And God Almighty in the Quran, he reveals to his messenger, peace and blessings be upon him, and he says, إِنَّكَ مَيِّتٌ وَإِنَّهُمْ مَيِّتُونَ, that you will pass away, O Muhammad, and they will pass away too, O Muhammad. And a famous poet once said that, you know, الْمَوْتُ بَابٌ وَكُلُّ النَّاسِ دَاخِلُهُ, that death is a door which every soul shall walk through.
That is something that is making our hearts tremor, because we don't understand what comes next. I like to describe it like this. If you're, imagine talking to a baby in the womb. This child is in several layers of darkness with the mother's heartbeat comforting it, regular food supply, muffled noises, and surrounded by liquid and warmth. And you would say to that baby, you know, outside soon you're going to see green trees and a sky that goes on forever, and there are stars and the sea, and you'll be out and you'll be breathing with your lungs, and you may only very temporarily be in water again, and people are going to smile and you're going to see your mother's face. That child might say, that doesn't exist. All I know is this peace and calm here, and there is nothing more than this. Is that the situation that we're in today, living with this air and this consciousness?
Yeah, I mean, you know, you painted the picture pretty clearly. You know, mankind, as God Almighty says, has been created with this quality of haste. We act in haste, right? It needs a lot of patience to believe in the hereafter and to work towards it. And, you know, especially when you're surrounded with what God Almighty has taught us is just glamour, right? Fake glamour. You have all this around you, and all these things together make death, you know, something difficult to take, something difficult to take. Now, don't get me wrong. From an Islamic perspective, Islam doesn't teach us to ask for death.
Mm.
I just want to make that clear. Islam, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, peace and blessings be upon him, he warned us against asking for death. That is not something that Islam permits, right? Because death is a matter controlled by God Almighty. He gives it when he wills. And that is why suicide is frowned upon in Islam. It is frowned upon and it's a major sin.
Let's just
major sin to take your own life.
Let's just repeat that, Sheikh. I want to hear that from you again. Is it okay for Muslims to seek death, pray for death, do things that bring on that try to hasten death?
Absolutely not. No one is allowed to do anything that brings about death. And even if we look at it from a jurisprudent perspective, right, from the angle of jurisprudence in Islam, you're not allowed to do that which will cause harm to you, right? A little harm. So what about great harm like suicide? And that is why the scholars discuss in depth the issue of smoking, for example. Once it's become manifest that smoking could lead to a disease that could lead to death and so on and so forth. So Islam has a ruling on that, that if you do it, you'll be sinful. So Islam in no way or form promotes death and has made suicide a major sin and has made any act that causes harm to your body an act of sin as well, and a sinful person will be taken to account in the hereafter, right? So in Islam, we are not taught to ask for death. The only time the messenger, taught us about asking for death is in one context alone. And that is the context whereby we say to God Almighty that, O God Almighty, cause me to live as long as you know, God Almighty, that life is good for me. And cause me to pass away only when, God Almighty, you know that passing away is good for me. This is what he taught us to say. Why? Because, the prophets came to teach us that there's more to life than just the life we live on earth. Right? There's a life after you die. And success and failure will also be looked at that space or in that space. So basically, the messenger, peace and blessings be upon him, is saying, and you can pray to God Almighty and say, oh God Almighty, grant me life as long as you know life is good for me. Meaning life is good for me in terms of my hereafter. Right? As long as you know, God Almighty, that me staying alive is only going to make me grow my hereafter and not let me lose my hereafter. Oh God Almighty, keep me alive as long as you know that me being alive will be a means towards, would be a means for me building my paradise. Because that's what we're here to do. We are on earth to build our paradise. I normally tell my audiences that we are paradise builders. That's our job description. They say, what's your description? I'm a, you know, what are you? I'm a Muslim, for example. What do? I build paradise. That's my description. Because, you know, we are on earth to build paradise. When we are pious, our paradise grows for us.
And
there's more streams being dug for us. There's more palaces being built for us. There's more forests being planted for us. There's more treasures being buried for us in our paradise. However, the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, also said that when you ask God Almighty for death, then only ask God Almighty for death if and only if God Almighty knows that you passing away will be good for you. Meaning, if you don't pass away, you lose your hereafter. So there's so much perspective just in this prayer, right? Because today we say, no, I hate death. I don't want death, even if it means me losing the hereafter. Who cares about the hereafter? It's about me being here. The fact of the matter is you can't live there.
I want to share this. There was a scientist. He's in America. I believe he's a neuroscientist, and you're welcome to look this up. It was reported in national newspapers 2 years ago. He was specializing in disproving out-of-body experiences after death. He said that it's all of those seeing the white light going to the gardens. He said this is just the death of the brain, and these are the natural side effects of death. He went into a coma. He got a very rare form of meningitis, only found in newborn babies. And because he was specializing in the brain, his friends kept him alive. Other doctors were saying we should turn it off. They said no. And he had an immense experience of well-being, of going towards a garden of otherness. And he now talks about that energy continues. And he said this is not to do with the brain, because he was officially brain dead. SubhanAllah, isn't that fascinating?
Yeah, well, you know, we've said it, and we've spoken to each other about this, and I've said it with you time and time again, that from an Islamic perspective, the brain does not have the capacity to fathom all of good. It has limits. It's an amazing, complex, intricate, a gift from God Almighty, but even though it has its limitations, so all praise be to God Almighty, and we are grateful to God Almighty for revelation that has taught us about the reality of the hereafter, and set for us the blueprint and the DNA in terms of how we can live in our life so that we can teach other people how to live in our dying and how to die in our living.
We will be back after this song from Zane Beaker.
My name is Zane Beaker from South Africa. Our world knows too much pain, too much hatred, and too much suffering. And our condition will never change until we change what's within ourselves. So let's spark that change. First, we need the love.
You're listening to Heart and Soul on Qatar Foundation Radio with me, Lauren Booth. Sharing his thoughts and gems of knowledge on the subject of death and the hereafter with us today is Sheikh Sajid Umar. Now, we should move on to the way that burial takes place for Muslims, because it is very rapid, and the period of mourning for those left behind. Perhaps let's look at what happens to the body this understanding that is given to us through the Quran and the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, what happens to us when we stop breathing?
Yes, from an Islamic perspective, there's teachings from the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, you know, about death and about the removal of the soul. God Almighty teaches us about the soul being removed in the Quran, in the final testament. In Islam, we are taught that the soul is removed during two occasions. One occasion is every night when we go to sleep, and the other occasion is when we pass away. When we go to sleep, God Almighty teaches us in the final testament, in the Quran, that he lifts the soul. It's not a complete removal or lifting. It's partial, because the soul is the electricity of the body. And the body can't rest if the soul is in place, fully in place. It's a mercy from God Almighty that the soul is lifted. It's a mercy from God Almighty that the soul is lifted to the extent that it allows the body to rest. And that's why even in power naps, you actually feel how rested your body becomes when you get that 10, 15 minutes. Mm. Right? Just because that short detachment of the soul in its completeness and complexity from the body allows the body to rest. The God Almighty tells us that at the time of sleep, the soul is lifted. And that is why the Messenger, peace and blessings be upon him, he taught us to pray before we sleep by saying, "Oh Allah, in your name, I die and I live." You know? And when I was a small boy being taught this, I used to be intrigued that I die and I live. And I used to just think, okay, I die when I die and I live after death.
Mm.
But after learning, you know, more about it, about the science of it, I came to understand that, no, you die the smaller death when you sleep, and you live after God Almighty blesses you to wake up in the morning. And that is why when you wake up in the morning, the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, taught us to say, you know, praise be to Allah who granted me life after granting me death, and unto him is our ultimate return, right? So we say all praise belongs to Allah who granted me life, meaning the life to wake up this morning. After granting me death, after granting me the lighted death, which is sleep, because your soul is partially lifted, and then and unto him is our ultimate return, meaning we all will one day experience the greater death.
You know, Chef,
it's so amazing that
my grandmother taught me to say this every night before I went to sleep. If I die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. So this is it's a universal search,
yes,
for divine protection during sleep, isn't it?
Yeah, 100%. And you know, if all the prophets are from God Almighty, then they came to teach this reality. But it's not, you know, your grandmother was a Christian, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's not. It wouldn't be absurd or strange to this, you know, to accept it as a teaching from Jesus, peace and blessings be upon him as well. So here we have this teaching in Islam about this particular fact. And that is why even the scholars say that the lightest death you can have is when you're in your sleep, mm-hmm, because your soul is already partially lifted. It's the easiest death. Now, from an Islamic perspective, we are taught that death has something known as qang, right? It has its difficulties. And these difficulties increase and decrease based on the righteousness or the lack of righteousness that a person lived their life with. So the more righteous you are, the more blessed you are in your death. And if you live a life that lacks piety, then the death will be even more severe. And we are taught that God Almighty has an angel known as the angel of death. And this angel has been tasked and has been given the skills to remove the souls from the bodies. And the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, he has a lengthy, a long narration, which is found in a book that you know, was dedicated towards gathering the teachings of the Messenger, peace and blessings be upon him, by a famous imam in Islam known as Imam Ahmad. And in this narration, you know, the technicalities of death are detailed. You know, the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, teaches us how a righteous person passes away, and then the passing away of the person who wasn't so righteous, and, you know, a comparison is done. So when a righteous person passes away, we are taught that angels from heaven descend, and they are excited to receive the soul. And the angel of death does his business with ease, so that the dying person, you know, dies with much ease. And then as soon as the soul is removed, the angels from heaven, they receive this soul. They receive the soul.
So the soul doesn't stop. This energy doesn't stop. You take your last breath, and it is taken, your ruh, your innermost
electricity,
yeah. energy, we might call it in the modern context, just to give it those words, is taken from you. And it's a gentle process. You're now in the realm of this spiritual world
and
the unseen, and these angels receive you. And in a good way, what is their expression? What do they look like?
Well, we don't have a description about the unseen to that extent. So in Islam, we never ever speak about the unseen unless you've been given explicit descriptions about it, because it will remain the unseen. Mm. And our minds can only imagine things to a certain degree. So we don't know how the angels look, but they receive this. And the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, teaches us that it's as if they are competing to receive the soul. Because there's so many angels that have come down. Right, because they know that this dying person is somebody who God Almighty was pleased with, so they are excited about this dying person, and they're all competing to carry the soul up to the heaven. And what's left on earth is the body. You might have a good friend of yours, and you've been speaking to this friend and visiting this friend throughout your life. When they pass away, you can be sat in front of them. Their eyes are still there. The nose is there, the mouth is there, the tongue is there, the blood still in the body, the heart, there, everything is there, but there's no electricity, it's not functioning.
Mm.
And that's why, you know, I mentioned this to my audience, I say, understand that when we meet each other, our souls meet more than our bodies meet, right? It's more a meeting of the soul, it's just that the soul is dressed up with the body, right? And that's why it's important to be good to each other and be kind to each other and develop our character based on this. You know, at the end of the day, things can happen to the body, but it's the nature of a person that will always be beautiful if it's beautiful and be ugly if it's ugly, right? And today in this world of materialism, we always look at things and judge things based on their covers, you know? Even with marriage, we always look at the superficial matters. It's not looking at the substantial matters. But perhaps that's a discussion for another day. But the point is that the soul has left, that the soul has left. And when we spoke about the pangs of death and the difficulties you feel when a person is passing away and the soul is being removed, so the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, taught us that the soul is removed from, you know, somewhere close to your voice box or what they call the Adam's apple. You know the place that you feel when you gargle? That is the exit point. So it's being pulled out from there, and that is why the first area of the body to experience death are your feet. And that's why they say when you know, from the signs of knowing that a person is passing away, is you look at their feet get cold, and their feet sort of slump. They don't remain up. When a person's alive and lying flat, their toes sort of point towards the sky or slightly upwards.
Okay.
They don't point directly in front of them. But when a person's passing away, you notice that the feet start to flop because life has been lost in that region, and you find the feet getting cold and so on and so forth. So the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, taught us that this is what happens. And as the soul is slowly being released from the body, the soul now starts to live its potential. Because this body blocks its potential. That's why we can't see the unseen. We can't see the angels, right? We can't see the jinn. But as the soul now starts being removed from the body, it starts living its potential, and now it starts seeing angels, it starts seeing a different world. It starts seeing the things that it was taught about, or it's read about in the Final Testament, or in the scriptures. It starts seeing the reality, and God Almighty describes this as the certain knowledge, that when you see something you believe in, that is the certain knowledge.
Mm.
And that is why if you've ever been in the room with a dying person, and God Almighty knows best, but if you've ever been in the room, sometimes they look at you in a strange way. They're looking at you, but they're not really looking at you. It's a very confusing situation. Many a listener could relate to this. And then they snap out of it, and then they see you, and they carry on talking like as if, you know, there was no strange incident before.
Mm.
But this is the pang. This is you snapping between the new reality and the old reality. The new reality and the old reality. This is you going through the process of death.
So,
and this is why the Messenger, peace and blessings be upon him, when he was dying, when he was passing away, he said to his wife that indeed death has these sakarat, as it's called in Arabic language, these pangs. Go ahead, Sister Longan.
So the gift here really is to view this life as a subway stop, just a mere station, a mere stopping place to eternity. and to build for the future. If you are on a train going somewhere, you might be texting or you might be speaking to someone on the phone. You're not speaking about that short journey, just one station's width. You are talking about what you're going to do next, and you're talking about the long-term future or something that's going to happen later, because that journey is very short. And that's all we have time for today on this massive subject. May peace and understanding descend upon us and allow us to live in peace with each other, and to give us peace in the next life to come. Assalamu alaikum. The producer for this series is Ihab Al-Sheikh.